All right, Carol, we're moving along great, guys, and good participation. Thank you for jumping in. And we're on time too. Shocking. Carol, can you read verses 12 through 16?
Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be thus minded, and if in anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained.
Thanks, Carol. Again, you come through so well. Paul is clear to say that he has not arrived. He is also quick to say that all Christians have not arrived. True spiritual maturity, he insists, actually means knowing that you haven't arrived and that you must still keep pressing on forwards toward the goal. The seasoned athlete knows that the race isn't won and lost until the end has been reached. To imagine that because you find yourself out in front of the pack, you can slack off and take it easy, having arrived, would be disastrous. Yeah, Paul's got this thought here. He's using an image from athletics, a race. When I read this passage, I think of Chariots of Fire. Anybody remember that movie?
Yeah.
In the 80s? And
yeah.
Where there, I think it's a 440-yard dash. Is that the... Something like that. They're running and the runner falls and he doesn't just quit the race, but he gets up and just runs as hard as he can. He's got that picture of the end. I think that's the picture Paul's talking about. He's not talking about someone who's broken out way ahead of the pack and is just like coasting to the finish line. I think the attitude that he would like Christians to live with is more of that I've fallen and I need to run as hard as I can to that finish line. And so what are the dangers in our spiritual lives if we think that we have arrived? What are there dangers?
Yeah, if you fall down, you don't get back up.
Okay.
I don't want to get to the point where I quit reading the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking
I'm there, and I don't think that's
what it's good for me, because I'm there, so I don't need more.
Okay.
I want to
stay in the
Word
and in Christ.
Okay. Great. Yeah, Matt.
I kind of wonder if, you think about the Bible, the Jewish people, the history of the Bible, right, is about being comfortable with getting set back, but never getting the finish line except through Jesus, right? The whole Old Testament is that. The wandering in the desert, God sends us something. They think they got it, then they go away. Is that kind of the whole premise of that?
I think so. Yeah, Matt says that the kind of the history of the Jews, God's people, was one in which they constantly thought they had arrived. And what you find is that they kind of fail and go off in their direction. Complacency, apathy. Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Amos, and we're going to find actually, it's a really weird book, because actually things are going unbelievably well in Jerusalem. The economy is great. If you read the book of Amos, you hear about how people have like three and four homes. Things are pretty good. And Amos, this crazy prophet, comes in and says, things ain't going well. And Amos says, the day of the Lord is coming. And there's almost a sense that Israel had become very complacent. And this wily prophet comes in. And do you think they like that message? How do you think they like that message from Amos? Yeah, that didn't go too well. Poor guy. All right. Finally, Also, when we run that race, one of the dangers, and we'll close out with just this thought and we'll transition to worship here, is when we know that we haven't arrived, doesn't that help us really focus on our present, where we're at right now? We're not just looking to the future. What keeps us from living in the present moment today? Because I think this is a really hard challenge right now for us. Some of us could think, and if you listen to television, it'll say, you know, I don't know if you guys are picking up on this message, but you'll hear someone say, will say, hey, and I say this too, so I'm calling myself out. Hey, in 4 or 5 months, it'll all get better. How many of you have caught yourself saying something like that? I've said it. Do you notice what's the thought behind that? It's meant to be hopeful, but you see what it tells people is that we can just live for the future and not really what is God doing right now, today, and how can I run the race? You see what I'm saying? And I'm guilty of it, and I think when I talk to other people, I hear them saying that. So what if in the next 3 months the virus is absolutely terrible? You know, would it be hell? Would God want us to say, let's just wait for 4 months and then we'll live? You know, would that be a God-pleasing response? You can push back and say, I mean, what do you think? Thoughts on that? Diane?
Just thinking, that's all we think. This is the day the Lord has made. This day, no matter how bad it is.
Yeah, this is the day the Lord has made. Today, Diane? Even if you're late for church, she says. This is the day. Good. Matt?
You know, just thinking about that, you know how we live for retirement, or we live for the weekend, or we live for something, you know, and being able to, the perspective we have on, you know, seize the moment, and we don't.
Matt's got great input. Matt says, we live like, it'll be better once I retire, or once I finally get that degree, or, you know, I'm no longer single and can get married, you know, or when, once I get married, then, you know, things, these are attitudes of the future. Now what Paul's saying, his attitude is the future is secure. It's with Jesus, but because that's secure, it helps us to stay right in the moment. That's the way this guy lives. He's a weird animal. He wouldn't live well in today's world, I think. I think he'd struggle. Or people wouldn't listen to him because his way of living is totally different. Yeah, Oscar. 1 minute. 1 minute. Okay.